Praise God. This is Minister Dawn Richards, and I am so glad that you are listening today. I am excited about a new series that God has put on my heart to share with you entitled How to Be Like God. You know, there are so many ways that the scripture reveals God to us, and as we endeavor to grow and increase in our likeness in Christ Jesus and to be more like Him, I think we can benefit from just taking a moment to really absorb and to immerse ourselves, if you will, in the scripture in key ways that we can really be like God. God's character is divine for sure, but the Bible says that we can be partakers of His divine nature through His exceeding great and precious promises, which are found where? In the Word of God. So I pray that as we begin to dive into this series and we begin to explore all the different ways of being like God, that your faith will be stirred like never before, that you'll be encouraged, and you'll find yourself becoming more and more like your Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the indwelt Holy Spirit. So with that, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians 5:1, and I want to lay a foundation for this message because it's important that we understand that this is in fact the will of God. You know, this isn't a good idea that I came up with, or something that I dreamed up in my own, you know, imagination, but this is in fact actual commandment from the scripture that God wants us to lay hold of. And He wants us to know who we are and who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to live out this life once we are born again. So in Ephesians 5:1, I'm going to begin reading there, and I'm actually going to read it from the New Living Translation. I love the way that translation reads, so I'm going to start there, and you can follow along in your Bible. So if you don't have your Bibles, go ahead and grab it. We're going to look at the scriptures today as we go through the Word, and then I'm going to give you a little bit more insight in this first way we're going to begin to look at how we can become like God, or really increase our God-likeness, because when we're born again, we are like God. The Bible says in Genesis that we are created in His image and after His own likeness. But then it tells us specific things that we are to do and that we can do to actually see ourselves be conformed to His very image. The scripture implores us actually to be conformed to the image of Christ. So that is what we are talking about here. Yes, we are reborn of God and we have His nature in us. But how many of you know it's okay for it to be in us, but it's even more important that it come out of us once we're saved. And that's what we're endeavoring to really get stirred up about and really build ourselves up in over the next several teachings that we'll do in this series. So Ephesians 5, verse 1, and I'm going to read again the New Living Translation, which says, "Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children." Isn't that beautiful? God loves us so much that He's made us His own children. We are now sons of God. Glory to God. John 1 teaches us that those who believe, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So we are now sons of God, born of God, born from above, which is all of what that born again experience entails. If you go back to John chapter 3 and you do some studying there, you'll see Jesus laying it out before the Jewish leader Nicodemus and teaching him, you know, the necessity of being born again and what that literally means. And it means to be born from above. Hallelujah. To be born of God. And so once that takes place, the next thing is to actually imitate Him, because we are His dear children now. And after we're born into this family, this is our calling. It's our calling to imitate God as a dear child, just as a natural child imitates their parent. You know, I think probably there isn't any greater honor that a child could actually give their parents than to imitate them. Now, for those of you who are natural parents, you know, and you have children, you might cringe a little bit at the thought of your children imitating your less than great characteristics and attributes. But when it comes to us as children of God, we have the privilege of living up to and becoming like our perfect God. God is perfect. So there is no mistaking, misstepping when we endeavor and when we purpose to become like Him. Glory be to God. And so the scripture says that's what we've been called to do. We're literally to mimic Him, to imitate Him. Paul said it like this: follow me as I follow Christ. So God is always the standard bearer. That is always our standard, not our pastor, not our prayer partner, not our husband or our wife or anyone else, but Jesus and the Word of God. That is the higher standard. Now, it's a blessing to have living examples before us, leaders and people who are faithful before God, because that does help us, especially as we grow and progress in our Christian walk. Obviously, we are born again as babes, and we have to ingest the Word of God. The Bible says, as babes, desiring that sincere milk of God's Word, so we can grow thereby. So yes, those examples are very important for us. That's why God has actually given us pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles. The fivefold ministry gift, as it's, you know, commonly known as in Ephesians 4, because these are the leaders that God has set in the body of Christ to what? Edify the body so that we can then in return do the work of the ministry. But when it comes to that standard of ultimate excellence and that ultimate standard, just because you see someone else compromising, that has nothing to do with God is still requiring of you. So we have to always keep our eyes on God as our ultimate example. If you have someone in your life, maybe a person of influence, a leader that has disappointed you, that has fallen in some way and has missed the mark in some area, that is not an excuse for you now to become defeated in your faith and defeated in your walk with God, and for you to begin to compromise, or for you to lose faith and trust in God himself. No, I mean, it's disappointing for sure when people that we love and we trust and we look up to and we open ourselves up to, you know, disappoint us, but we've probably disappointed people ourselves as well. So that's when we shift our focus and we keep our focus in the first place really on God. And as we receive from others and as we watch others and learn from them and are mentored by them and discipled by them, we should always have Jesus as our ultimate teacher and the Holy Spirit, because that's what the anointing in us is designed to do. It's the Word of God says in 1 John 2 that the anointing that abides in us, it teaches us all things. Glory be to God. So whatever we need to know, God is going to always make sure that he can get it over to us. And he can use many different avenues to do that. It might be another person. It might be a book. It might be a billboard as you're driving down the highway. But ultimately, God is the source of the knowledge and the wisdom that you need to be a success in this life and to live for his glory. Hallelujah. So we've been called to imitate God. And, you know, I say to those, you know, that question, you know, okay, now that I'm saved, so what? I say to that, this is the so what. The so what of our Christian faith is to be conformed to the image of Christ. You know, that's the end purpose. Otherwise, why would God keep us in the earth? Why would it make sense for us as believers who are now, you know, promised eternal life with God in heaven? Why would we need to remain in the earth? Simply so we can actually live out our calling as children of God and as God's representatives, his ambassadors in this earth. So it's very important that we form our lives and we conform our lives to the Word of God and be like God as much as we can as we grow in our walk with him. So we're saved to be a living expression of the Lord in the earth. We are his body. He's the head. Christ is the head of the church. And then we are the body of Christ. So we're his body. And we're to reflect him. I mean, you think about your natural body. Your head isn't off doing one thing and your body's doing another. I don't think that, it, you know, that would work very well for very long. So we're called to be in unison with him, to reflect him and his fullness to the world in which we live. And really, it's about dying to ourselves and living to him. And it's so much easier to say it, I know that, than it is to actually live it, especially when you have, you know, the forces of evil and the forces of darkness that you're still having to resist and contend against. We have an enemy in this earth, admittedly, who is not going to just sit by idly and let us grow in God and let us become these strong spiritual giants without, you know, some contention and without trying to kind of trip us up and get us off our game. But that's okay, because God has already promised that we win. He says if we fight that good fight of faith, that we will lay hold of eternal life. And that word eternal refers to the highest kind of life, the God kind of life, the Zoe life of God. Hallelujah. And another place in scripture in 2 Corinthians, and I think it's chapter 14, but I could be off. But in 2 Corinthians, he tells us that he always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. He always has victory in store for us. That is his will for us. Bless the Lord. So we know that we have that victory. We know that God's on our side. We know that we're going to have to deal with this enemy over here that's constantly trying to get us off course and get us off our game. But we have more than enough to handle him. So now there's nothing to it but what? To do it. Glory be to God. And let's look at the scripture in 1 John 4:17, which brings this point home once more. It actually affirms the fact that we are called to be like God in this world. And there in 1 John 4:17, it says, as he is, and it's talking about Jesus, so are we in this world. Glory be to God. So the natural order of things, which follows that children generally take on the nature and the values, the priorities, the habits, the preferences, and the likeness of their parents, equally flows into the supernatural order of things where God and the children of God are concerned. So wonder no more. Your purpose, my purpose as children of God is to be like him. Glory be to God. I hope you're excited about that. Maybe you've been wondering what it is. What is the so what? Now I'm saved. Okay, so what? What next? But you have your answer now. You are to become busy about learning and growing and being like him, being like God. Hallelujah. So with that foundation, we're going to actually start to examine several key ways of being like God. I like to think of them as key traits that reflect the heart and mind and nature and ways of God. And I hope you're excited about this journey in the Word, because I know I am. And it's surely going to result in a higher way of living and being and produce greater fruit in your Christian walk. So we're going to start at the very beginning with love. Our first stop along this train is how to be like God and love like God. Now, there is no other characteristic or manner that sums up God and his essence than love. And that's why we're starting with love. 1 John 4:16 actually reveals to us that God is love. And so we just read 1 John 4:17 that tells us, as he is, so are we in this world. And you back up one verse. Well, how is he? He's love. Glory be to God. God is love. It's not what he has. It's who he is. Everything about God, his commands, promises, gifts, standards, his character, everything comes out of his love nature. John 3:16 is a familiar scripture to most, but I want us to read it now. So let's turn over there. And we'll see how God put this whole thing in motion and got it going. And it was all born out of his love. When you love, there is no higher expression of being like God than to love like God. Hallelujah. It's literally God in motion. So John 3:16 says, for God so loved, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this whole thing with mankind, God's very intent towards you and me was born out of his love. And because he so loved, now we can be saved and have everlasting life. And what's to be our response to that? What is our response in kind? Well, let's go back over to Ephesians 5. And this time we're going to read verses 1 and 2. And I'm still reading from the New Living Translation. And there again it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Now, I don't think it can get any clearer than that. Let's read it once more. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Verse 2. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Child of God, we've been called to love like God. There's no getting around it. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've received him as your personal Lord and Savior, you are called to love like God. And you might as well answer that call, because the sooner you answer it, the sooner things are going to go so much better with you. Yeah, there's definitely going to be some tugging on your flesh, and you're going to be in some tough situations at times that scream everything but love. But that's when the greater one in you will rise up and give you what you need. And we're going to look in a little while at the fact that we actually have the equipment that we need to do this thing, because this is a supernatural calling. This is not something that the average person walking around can do. If you're not born again and Jesus is not your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit is not living in your heart and Jesus isn't living in your heart, you can't do this. This is for supernatural people, and we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We are born of God, born from above, born of his kingdom. And so we've been endowed with, you know, certain power, certain authority, certain dominion and ability that those outside of God's family don't have. And that's just the facts, you know? So let's embrace that and let's make it a reality in our own lives. Bless the Lord. So now that we know, okay, I'm supposed to love. I'm supposed to, you know, imitate God, and love is a part of that, and God is love, and the Bible tells me that I'm supposed to love like him and follow Christ's example. So what exactly does this entail? You know, what is walking in love and living a life of love really all about? Well, I'm glad you asked. First off, let me start by saying the agape love of God, which is what we're talking about, isn't the emotional, conditionally based love that most people think of when they think about love. That love is a human, typically selfish love. But what we're talking about, and I say selfish because it's generally founded in our own self-interest. You know, I'll be nice to you if you're nice to me. I'll give you a present if you give me a present. It's kind of the tit for tat, the quid pro quo type of interaction that most natural people have. If you hurt my feelings, then I won't speak to you. You know, you will have to grovel and then maybe, you know, we can see about it. But the love that we're talking about is the God kind of love. God loves, the Bible says, he is good to all. It says that he makes the sun to shine on the good and the unjust. He is love. That's all he can do. That's all that's coming from him. Now, he is, out of that love, a God of justice, and he does, you know, meet the proper punishments and or rewards to people as they deserve them. But his heart is always that of love, because that's his very essence. And so that's how we are. That doesn't mean we take off our thinking caps and we never exercise judgment and we never apply good old-fashioned common sense to situations where there's a clear danger sign. But in the name of love, you know, we go for it anyway. No, that's not what we're talking about here. But what we are talking about is setting aside the selfish, self-interested, conditional, and I think that's a big word, conditional love that is based on the condition. You know, if I'm feeling good, I'm in a good mood, you know, you haven't gotten on my nerves, you know, you haven't ticked me off, you know, you've been nice to me, you're my friend, then I'll love you. The Bible says even the heathen do that. What are we doing when we love those who love us in return, or we're kind to those who are kind to us in return? Even the heathen, even wicked people do that. Sinners do that. So we're called to step it up. We're called to a higher level where we have to very often love the unlovely and the unlovable. But it's an unconditional love. It's a love that actually begins inside and flows out rather than the other way around. It's the love that God loves with. And this love is based on commitment and obedience. And I think so often that's where people miss it and they get off track, especially when it comes to relationships. Because in relationships, obviously the emotions are very involved, especially if you're dealing with more of a romantic type relationship between a husband and a wife or, you know, a couple. Then you're really getting into the deep, tender places of the heart. And if an offense takes place or if a wrongdoing occurs, there has to be some resolve there, or if a hurt feeling occurs. And that doesn't mean always that the person that has the hurt feelings is justified in being hurt, but that just may be how they're feeling. And so if we don't get out of that emotional realm and out of that feeling realm and out of that conditional realm, then we're always going to be subject to that, and it's going to keep us down. It's going to keep our relationships down. They're never going to ever be everything they could be, and we're not really growing as God intended. But when we can say, you know what, I'm loving because it's a commandment. I'm loving because I'm committed to obeying God and His word. That's when the love that's in us, that supernatural love, will rise above and it'll propel us forward into doing that thing that seemed impossible that we never even imagined we could do. And you may be thinking right now, wait. I cannot love like that. Actually, you can. And you know what? God didn't leave it up to your own power and your own good intentions. Instead, He already knew, hey, they're going to need some help. And so He gave us the Holy Spirit, who in return shed His love abroad in our hearts. And you can study that out. It's in Romans 5:5. That is scripture. The love of God is in you. You know, there was this commercial that used to come out years ago about a spaghetti sauce by Prego. And they would, I love using this analysis, because the announcer would start off and he'd start announcing all the ingredients and he'd say, you know, peppers, and he'd say, it's in there, onion, it's in there, spices, it's in there. And it described all the yummy, delicious things that went into making that sauce fantastic. Well, when we look at the love of God, the scripture says it's in there. Glory be to God. Romans 5:5 says the Holy Ghost is already shed abroad in our hearts. Now we have to cultivate it for sure, but the seed of love is there and it's ready to bear fruit. So that's good news that you can rest upon even when it seems downright impossible to love. So we're going to actually pick up here our next time together as we continue our study on how to be like God and how to love like God. I hope you've been blessed so far. I hope your engines are turned on and revved up, and that you'll start to really delve into what the scripture has to say about the love of God and loving like Him. And until next time, be blessed.